I wanted to share on being led by the Spirit and just explain what the flesh is a little bit, and how the Lord leads us and guides us, and what it means to be led by the Spirit. So let's start with a verse in Romans 8, verse 14. Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So we see that if we're not led by the Spirit, we're not a child of God. So we have to be led by the Spirit of God. And so verse 13 shows us what, when we're led by the Spirit, what are we doing? If we live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So if we're led by the Spirit, we're putting to death the deeds of the flesh. All right? So if we're not putting to death the deeds of the flesh, we're not led by the Spirit, and we're not a child of God. If we read those two verses, because it says if we live according to the flesh, we will die. So I want to explain, because sometimes, you hear the word flesh, and you're like, what does that mean? Someone asked me this week, like, what do you mean if you walk in the flesh, or if something's of the flesh? So when you read the word flesh in the Bible, you're going to see a few different things. And I'm just going to go over this very briefly. For one, flesh can just be skin over our bones, okay? Flesh can be, and when you hear, you see the word, someone's, born in the flesh, they're born in the body, they have a natural body. So our natural bodies can be our flesh. But when it talks about living according to the flesh, it's talking about something different, and that's what I don't want to focus on. The flesh that I'm talking about here is the sensuous nature of man. Okay, it's the sensuous nature of man, something that we're all born with. Okay, there's not one person in the whole world that wasn't born with a sensuous nature. If you actually, when I looked it up in the Blue Letter Bible, in the, explaining how the biblical usage is actually the animal nature with cravings, which incite to sin. Okay, so the flesh is a sensuous nature, an animal nature. When we see the works of the flesh in Galatians 5, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, drunkenness, wrath, malice, all those things come from this animal nature, this sensuous nature of man. Another way you can see it is it's a human nature or an earthly nature of man apart from divine influence. So we all have this flesh. So you can see that, there's the flesh, and we can, maybe some things are obvious, adultery, fornication, rape. These are all very wicked, fleshly attributes. But there's something else that maybe that's a little more subtle, it might not see. Let's look in Philippians 3. Paul is talking about when he was living before Christ, he was living under the law, but yet he was, according to the law, blameless. He was zealous persecuting the church. He was circumcised the eighth day, and he had done all these good things, but yet he was a wretch. It was all garbage and dung. Because, why? Let's see here in verse 3 here. We are the circumcision, or we can say we are the true Christians, the true circumcision, who worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. Okay, so although he did all those things, you can obey the Ten Commandments, right? But it can be of the flesh. Well, how is that possible? Well, Paul obeyed the Ten Commandments. He did all those things. He was blameless according to the law. He had done all those things because he was doing it for self gratification for his own righteousness. It wasn't by faith. It wasn't in the spirit, worshiping God and giving glory to Jesus. It was kind of glory for self. So anything done out of our own will, not the God's will, is of the flesh. So whenever we make a decision, we got to think, is this God's will for me? Or is this my will? Think about that in everything, even in a friendship. Is it God's will that I'm a friend with this person? Well, this person curses and swears and we go watch wicked things, but yeah, I want to be a good influence. Is that God's will? No, God's will is come up from among them and be separate. So that's a fleshly relationship. So we have to question, is that relationship, if we're going here and there and we're going drinking and getting drunk and so on, is that God's will? No. That's of the flesh. And if we live according to the flesh, we will die. And if someone is dragging us into that, that's a fleshly relationship. We need to cut that off. As much as the devil can say, oh, you can be a good influence on that person. If you're being dragged into sin, that's of the flesh. And cut it off. So it's interesting, the span here, we can see a fleshly work is adultery, something that we see so clearly. But something of the flesh can be something where, oh, I'm doing this for a little glory for myself. I'm even keeping this commandment to look good, you know, because I want to have some sort of outward righteousness. That's of the flesh too. So there's a span. So I just wanted to explain that before we move on here. So in the absence of depending on the Holy Spirit and glorying and giving glory to Christ, the actions just are just becoming fleshly and sinful. So in Galatians 5, in verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Another version says, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing whatever your sinful nature craves. Okay, so if the Holy Spirit is leading you and guiding you, you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. And that lines up with what we read in Romans 8. So the Holy Spirit leads us away from gratifying our own desires. If you're led by the Spirit of God, you'll be a son. If we're not, if we're led by our flesh, we're not a child. Doesn't matter what we say. If we're not crucifying the flesh and moving away from that sinful lust, then we're a slave. And a slave doesn't abide in the house forever, it says. So what do we need in order to be led by the Spirit? We need to be filled with the Spirit. Let's look in Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. Or that word can mean carefully. See then that we walk very carefully. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. So, there's a command here. Don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And when we're filled with the Spirit, then in verse 17, we're going to know what the will of the Lord is. Right? He's saying, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Well, how in the world, how am I going to know what the will of the Lord is? I need his Holy Spirit to show me. We know the Word of God also teaches us what the will of the Lord is. It says in Thessalonians, let's see here, 1 Thessalonians 4, this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. Okay, so we know the word teaches us what the will of the Lord is. To be sanctified, to be set apart, to abstain from sexual immorality, to put to death the deeds of the body. That's the will of the Lord. Then there's other things that aren't necessarily sinful things, like who am I going to marry? Or what should I do for an occupation? Or, you know, what should I do today? This, you know, does this person need encouragement or that person? And to hear his voice, how do I know what the will of the Lord is? In those things, we need to hear his voice and be led. And we're only going to know that if we're continually being filled. If we're distracted, we're going to start hearing different voices and is this the Lord or not the Lord? So if we seek him first, not money, if we seek the Lord, then other things are all going to fall into place. And we're not going to have to be anxious about those things because the Lord will take care of it all. So it's interesting that right after he says we need to be filled with the Spirit, he talks about the family. He talks about marriages. He talks about husbands loving your wives. I can't do that unless I'm filled with the Spirit. He talks about husbands loving their wives as their own bodies and as Christ did, laying his life down. I can't do that unless I'm filled with the Spirit. He talks about children, obeying your parents. You need the Holy Spirit for that. And fathers, not provoking your children to wrath by all these, you know, heavy burdens that they can't bear or nitpicking different things. And I can't do that unless I have the Holy Spirit to help me and guide me. And I made many mistakes in that area. So in order to have a godly family, we need to be filled with the Spirit. If we want a Spirit-filled family, we need his Spirit. So how does the Spirit then, how can he lead us? So let's look in Colossians 3, verse 15. Colossians 3, 15 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." So the Spirit can lead us through the peace in our hearts. Peace ruling, and that word rule, I've mentioned this before, means umpire. Okay, so rule means to be an umpire, to direct or control or to decide. And just think of what an umpire does in a game. It's calling, you know, fouls or calling strikes and balls and, you know, whether something's done properly or not done according to the rules. So when we're seeking to be led, we can listen to the peace in our hearts. Now, it's easy to be deceived by that. We don't want to be deceived because if we strongly are desiring to fulfill the lust in our flesh, we can bypass that peace and our peace can become like a false peace because our heart's so calloused. Talks about our hearts being seared as with a hot iron. So when you continually resist the Holy Spirit and his convictions, our hearts can be seared. And what happens when a hot iron sears the skin? It loses sensation. Someone who gets third-degree burns, they can't feel their skin anymore. Once they, whatever, get skin grafts or whatever, it's all numb. They lose the sensation. And so we don't want to continually resist the Holy Spirit. And so if our desire, though, is to truly want to please him and do his will, then the peace is going to be accurate. It's going to rule and help guide us and be like an umpire in our life. But we don't want to be deceived by that and use it as an opportunity for the flesh, thinking, "Oh yeah, I have peace for that. I'll just go do that." When it doesn't line up according to the words. So that brings me to my next point: is he leads us also, verse 16, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. He leads us through his word, so we need to have the word dwelling in us richly. We need to know the word. And to not only know it, but to abide in it. Okay, so we need his peace. Let the peace rule in us and direct us. And also we need his word. Those two have to go together. If we don't have a clue about his word, and we're just going according to, "Oh, I feel good about that," that doesn't work. Okay, we need to know his word, his spoken word and his written word. Okay, so Romans 12, 1 and 2 also teaches us how do we know what the will of the Lord is. Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay, so if we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, that's true worship. True worship, when you look at that and what Abraham did when he laid down his son Isaac and he says, I'm going to worship, he told his servant, we're going to worship. He went and he sacrificed Isaac. That's true worship. It's giving up, it's laying down our lives, our most precious things to God, giving them all up and holding everything out with an open palm, not gripping everything tightly. Can't say, yeah, I worship God, but don't take this. I can't give you that. No, open everything up to him freely. So another version says it, you'll learn to know God's will for you. So if you obey God's word and we present our bodies as a living sacrifice and we're not conformed to the world, then we will learn to know what God's will for us is. You'll know God's will for you if that's what we do. Daily, daily, I surrender. So as we sang today, daily, daily, I surrender. If we surrender daily, we're going to know what God's will is for us in everything. In everything. Okay, we're just going to finish out looking at it. Just a couple practical examples in Paul's life. So 2 Corinthians 2, 12 and 13. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit because I did not find Titus my brother. But taking my leave of them, I departed for Macedonia. It's interesting here. A door was open for him to preach the gospel, but he had no rest in his spirit. So he left and went to Macedonia because he needed his brother. He needed to find his brother, and he was concerned for him, and whatever the situation was, he had to go. And so there you can see, okay, the peace of God was ruling, and he didn't have rest to be there. It wasn't a sin issue, but the Lord was guiding him elsewhere, even though a door was open to preach there. And let's contrast that with 2 Corinthians 7, 5. Okay, 2 Corinthians 7, 5. For indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts, inside were fears. Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. So here is a situation where their bodies had no rest, there was difficulties, and they were troubled, and it says inside were fears. Did it mean he had to leave that place? No, he was comforted now by Titus. So you see how we need to be really in tune with what the Lord is saying. Even though it's difficult, doesn't mean that we're not supposed to be in that place or doing that thing. Now, do you think that the Holy Spirit could lead someone in a place where they could be tempted? This is an interesting thing, you know, because it says that God does not tempt anyone. And, you know, we're supposed to pray, Lord, keep us from temptation. So I always pray, Lord, don't lead me into a place to be tempted. I don't want to be tempted. But do you know that Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted? So in that situation, Jesus needed to be tempted because he had to be tempted like us in every way. And you know that for us, it's actually, temptation is something we're all going to go through, and it's something important part of our walk with the Lord, because temptation is like weights. I heard this example from a brother. How is our faith and our spiritual walk strengthened? Well, I can be here and I can be or at home, and I can say, Lord, I love you so much. I love you, Lord. And I can sing songs of how much I love the Lord. And then temptation comes, and I just give in to temptation. Well, that kind of shows that where my love is at, doesn't it? Do I really love the Lord if I'm just giving to temptation every time I'm tempted? But now if I'm tempted and I resist the temptation, the Lord sees. Yeah. You know, just like when Abraham laid down Isaac, he says, now I know that you fear me. Now I know that you love me and you fear me. It's not just words. I saw it. And so temptation, when we resist temptation, it's like pumping those 25-pound bells, right? We start to, when we pump those bells, we start getting strong muscle. When we resist temptation, we start getting strengthened in our spirit and become stronger spiritually. So we have to resist temptation. So that's why when Jesus was led to be tempted, and we're going to be tempted, not that God tempts us, but he allows temptation to see, do we fear him? Do we love him? And to grow and to pass the grades, pass the tests. All right, we're going to finish off here in Acts 16. Okay, Acts 16, now in verse 6. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Now, it's interesting. How were they forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia? I'm just going to cross-reference this with Galatians 4:13. I'll just read it here. You know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first. Because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first. So Paul was wanting to be led by the Spirit, and where do I go on my journey, my missionary journey? I'm going here, there. I want to know where I'm going, and he needs to hear. Well, they were going to go to Asia, and he was forbidden. How was he forbidden? He got sick, and then he had to stay in Galatia, and that's how he preached the gospel to the Galatians at first. Do you know that God can use sickness in your life and lead you through that? You know, he wanted to go, but he got sick. He had to stay. That's very interesting. You know, so yeah, we were led by the Spirit through the peace ruling in our hearts. We were led through his word dwelling us richly, knowing what sin and so on. But then there's other decisions, and do we go here or there? And all of a sudden we get sick. Well, I guess it's the Lord's will that I stay here. But then it says, they came to Mysia. They tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. We don't know how the Spirit did not permit them there, but there was obviously something that happened. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now he sees a vision. You think, okay, if I see a vision, I'm going to know this is the Spirit. I know when I see a vision, I've got to go to Macedonia. That seems clear to me. But if I get sick and I got to stay and preach in Galatia, that maybe doesn't seem as clear, but that was the Lord's plan there. So then they went to Macedonia. And it says that they were staying in that city for some days. So there they were, and nothing was happening for some days. You think that all of a sudden they could get wavering, like, why am I here? So when we feel like we're being led something and something's not happening, we don't want to doubt what the Lord is doing. And then certain things happened there, and they cast out a demon out of this girl, and they became persecuted for that because she was making money for these people by fortune-telling. And so they were dragged away into the marketplace, and their clothes were torn off, and they were commanded and they were beaten with rods. At that point, do you think, as they're being beaten, they're like, Lord, was I supposed to come to Macedonia? Look at this. We cast out a demon out of a girl, and you think the revival would happen, and now we're being beaten. They didn't doubt and complain. They just, in verse 25, at midnight when they're in jail, they just prayed and were singing hymns to the Lord. So when things don't always go the way we think they're going to go, doesn't mean the Lord wasn't leading us in that. So just learning how to be led by the Spirit, and we know then that there's a Philippian jailer, and him and his family were saved and baptized, and and so on. So it was the Lord's will that they were there. So I'm going to close there just in some simple things about being led by the Spirit. The keys I want to hone in on are we need to crucify the flesh. We need to be filled with the word richly. We need to be sensitive to how the Spirit is leading and ruling and umpiring in our heart. And we can know that the voice is clear if we're not seeking our will, but seeking the Lord's will. And know the difference between flesh and spirit. The flesh can be as gross as rape, or can be even living under the law of the commandments because you want to be righteous outwardly, but it's not by faith. You know, that can be flesh, right? Or a fleshly relationship is something that's pulling you towards sin, in a direction of sin. So we want to be led by the Spirit of God and filled with the Spirit so that we can walk in the Spirit and in step with the Spirit.